Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and today we're spacing out. I mean, we're talking about space. I mean, oh my God, all of a sudden I'm feeling so spacey. Okay. Joining me today is Latino USA senior producer AC Valdez.
Hi, Maria.
Hey. All right, AC, so what do you mean when you say space?
Well, there's a really good way to visualize this, Maria. I want you to take this nice thick marker and the whiteboard you got.
Got it.
And I want you to draw me a map of the United States, the lower 48. And as you're doing that, tell me what kind of cities you're hitting along the way while you're drawing that outline.
I got to Seattle. I passed by Chicago over here, Miami, El Paso, Texas, and San Diego.
Now, I want you to pretend that that line, that's 100 miles wide.
So the entire outline of the United States of America, and then 100 miles in from that entire outline.
And that is where Customs and Border Protection has authority.
Okay, so I have to wrap my head around this because usually, you know, when you think about the border and you think about the Border Patrol, you think about them actively guarding the southern border. But if it's about the borders around all of the outlines of the United States, the entire country, that means that they're everywhere.
And that's what you call reasonable distance.
Reasonable distance?
Reasonable distance is this thing where the Border Patrol says that within 100 miles of any land or any maritime border, they have jurisdiction. And I talked to some people who really think a lot about this, and one of them is James Lyle at the ACLU of Arizona.
In 1946, the Immigration and Nationality Act, the INA, was amended to give Border Patrol broad authority within a, quote, reasonable distance of the border. It was defined by the Department of Justice in federal regulations in 1953. And at that time, the Department of Justice said that reasonable distance would be 100 miles from any external boundary.
In the meantime, the Border Patrol has grown to become the largest law enforcement agency in the country. That means a lot more Americans, not just at the border, are interacting with Border Patrol agents.
I was coming home from work and they stopped me and they asked me if I was a U.S. citizen and how long I owned my car and if they could search my trunk.
Julia Turner lives in southern Arizona. She goes through these checkpoints every day.
And they told me their dog had hit on something in the trunk.
Julia had nothing in her trunk. Never has.
It's kind of ridiculous that they want to search my car every single time. And so I just get annoyed with them, and I guess they can tell.
Julia's dad, Brian, is a former sheriff's deputy. He feels like there's a lack of professionalism and respect with the way Border Patrol works at checkpoints in general. A little bit of background. Julia looks Latina, though her father is Caucasian. She's adopted.
And I even went to the point of driving Julia's car down to the checkpoint. And after they waved me through, I stopped and I rolled the windows back down. And I said, I'm so-and-so, and it's my daughter in this vehicle that you keep stopping and harassing. And she is of Hispanic origin. How would you feel if it was your daughter, gentlemen? And I don't know how it was taken. Three or four maybe looked at me. They ignore me. They ignore a lot of the Caucasians and just wave them through. Without using the word profile, I don't know what else to do.
Racial profiling comes up time and again as a problem in the complaints the ACLU has submitted to Border Patrol. Julia actually is one of the complainants.
I'm being honest. I don't see it.
Art Del Cueto has been with the Border Patrol for 11 years.
I work out of the Tucson sector. And I am the president of the local 2544, which is the union council that covers the entire Tucson sector.
Customs and Border Protection issued me a statement which reads, in part, CBP does not tolerate racial profiling or agent misconduct and appropriately investigates allegations of wrongdoing. After they declined an interview, I realized that talking with Art was probably a way to get some frank and honest answers talking to a real person. Border Patrol's union presidents are a bit more free to go outside the official channels, and he was pretty upfront with me.
Obviously, if we see a rancher in his boots, and you know he's wearing his cowboy hat and an older pickup truck, and he's a white guy, you don't see anything. You're not going to pull him over. Now, I see somebody who looks more Hispanic, that's darker. He's got several backpacks. He's got a newer truck. He's out in the middle of nowhere. You know, he's got water, food. You know, We know what they're doing. They're out there supplying the bandits. They're out there supplying the scouts.
Scouts for the drug trade. Art told me that 60% of the drugs that come into the country come in through Arizona. It means constantly being on high alert. Even if the original purpose of a checkpoint stop is to inquire about resident status. And a lot of Border Patrol agents, like Art, are Latinos themselves.
Ever since I was a kid, I grew up in a border town. But there was only two ways to go coming out of that town. And it was either the right way or the wrong way. When you're a child, you play cops and robbers. I always wanted to be the cop.
For people at an economic disadvantage, law enforcement means a productive job, a way out. But that means accepting that sometimes law enforcement's just not popular.
I actually sat down with all these, you know, what I'd call anti-border patrol groups.
Activist groups like No More Deaths, National Council of La Raza.
And they had tons of questions, and I answered all their questions, and they were very grateful at the end. You know, hey, you took the time to ask them. You may not like some of the answers, but at least you're getting an answer.
But your average person, someone like Julia, isn't an activist. I asked her what might make her feel better about the way she's been treated at checkpoints.
Most of the nights, some of the guys, they don't even talk to me. They just ask me if I'm a U.S. citizen, and then they just tell me to go through. Sometimes I have this one who will ask me how my day is or tell me to have a good evening.
Art Del Cueto told me, if there's outreach at all, it's slow in coming.
The problem is it needs to go very slowly, and I think they're pushing in that direction. A lot of those bridges have been burned a long time ago, and there is that public mistrust.
All of the people you've heard from live in Arizona. But considering the size of the Border Patrol and its enormous jurisdiction, there's reason to believe people far from the Mexico border should think about the role it plays in their community, even outside the 100-mile zone. James Lyle from the Arizona ACLU.
So some of the abuses that we hear reported are even further into the interior than the regulations would dictate. One notorious example, Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont was stopped at a checkpoint 125 miles from the New York-Canada border. The New York Civil Liberties Union documented through a Freedom of Information Act request hundreds of stops of individuals on mass transit in upstate New York. And it showed widespread racial profiling, widespread stops far from the border, very few of them resulting in the initiation of removal proceedings, many resulting in the unlawful detention of people who were lawfully present.
You can see a map on our website, latinousa.org. of the 100-mile zone in which the Border Patrol operates. Around two-thirds of our country's population lives there. For Latino USA, I'm A.C. Valdez.
A.C. Valdez is Latino USA's senior producer.